take any personal offense to that, because it's just true.
Okay. Sichas Ran Yotes. V'omar. Nichsafti ma'oid. Lahamshich es ha'oilom el asir. I feel a tremendous sense of urgency to bring the world to do the following. Shiyachiyuv eitzel kol echad ve'echad, that every person should feel obligated, lilmod kach ve'kach, to learn such and such, to learn a certain amount. V'chol yoyim ve'yoyim, every day, v'lo ya'avor, and do not transgress the idea of learning every day. V'kayoytze. V'omar, and he said, Sha'afilu olsan anash, even those people, ha'rechoykim v'na kedusha ma'oid, that are very distanced from holiness, shenil kedu b'mitzu dara, that they feel entrapped by the evil entrapment, ad, until the point, sheragilin ba'averis chas v'shalom, that they are commonly doing averis, God forbid. Rachmana litzlan, rachmana litzavan. Hashem should save us. Afal pikein, nonetheless, ha'koyach shela Torah gadol kolkach, the power of Torah is so strong, ad sheyachoyle lehoitzi yoysam min averis, that it has the power to take them out from the averis, shiragilon behen chas v'shalom, that they are accustomed to, God forbid. V'im yasu lahem chok kavua, if they make for themselves a set law, v'chiyuv chazak, and a strong obligatory, strong obligation, lilmod b'chol yom v'yom kach v'kach, to learn every day a certain amount, yiyeh eich shiyeh, however he is currently, whatever state he finds himself in currently, bevadai, with certainty, yizkulat seis mevitzudal samra al yedei Torah, he will for sure be able to leave the evil entrapment through Torah. Ki koyach ha-Torah gadol ma'od, because the power of Torah is very strong. It's funny, I just, when I asked you what piece I'm doing today, so you told me we're up to 19. So I took one look at it. I quickly saw the first paragraph. I smiled. And I took a picture of it and put it up on the Shana Bet Shem. Do you know why I put it up on the Shana Bet Shem? This was my Shana Bet Shemus this past Thursday. I literally spoke about this without realizing that it wasn't my idea. And it was the Sichas Aran. And because the Sichas Aran is part of my mentality, I say things sometimes like it's my own idea. In the meantime, it's not. It's okay. I never take credit for my own ideas anyway. But like, because obviously they're influenced by something else. But so I don't feel bad about it in that sense. But like, if you wanted to take my 30-minute schmooze and put it into a paragraph, and this is not what I just posted. Like, this is the paragraph. We think of Torah as something that we use for the information of it. We need Torah for its information. We need Torah for its knowledge. And we think that the power to fight our taivas comes from something else. That comes from our own internal desire, our own discipline. Of course, that's true. Of course, it requires discipline.
We think our taivas come from discipline.
We think our taivas, our overcoming our taivas, comes from an internal will and discipline to be able to fight our taivas. I'm not denying that. Of course that's true. But here is an underrated fact about Torah. And it's Maisa B'chol Yom. As a Rebbe here in this yeshiva for 14 years, as a person who's been involved in chinuch for longer, in my own life, people I've seen, I can attest to this. Can I prove it to you? I can't prove it to you. Can I attest to the clear correlation that I've seen over my career? I can absolutely attest with almost certainty that this is true. Torah is transformative outside of its knowledge. Even if you walk away with nothing practical in terms of Torah knowledge, there's no other area of study that does that. If you study anything, the whole purpose of studying anything else is for the knowledge. If you ever walk away from studying something, mathematics or whatever it is, and you walk away without knowing the information, you literally wasted your time. You literally wasted your time. So a lot of people think, and this is the Vart that people say, and it's true, that by Torah it's not true, because Hashem cares about the effort. And therefore, even if you didn't know the information, you still get schar for the effort. That misses the whole point. That's true. Of course that's true. I'm not saying that's not true. But that's not the benefit. The benefit is that there's a koach in Torah. Hashem put a certain energy in Torah that gives us the ability, just by being exposed and immersed in Torah, that it gives us the strength to be able to overcome, over time, to overcome our taivas, to beat the Eitz Hara. There's an inherent kedusha in Torah that does that. And even if you didn't understand what you learned, and even if I didn't chap shir, so I tell myself, yeah, but I'll get schar. I'll get schar. It's like what I always like to say in tefillah shir. I use this in tefillah shir, where I say, when people say, I davened for something and it didn't happen, oh, don't worry, God will use that for something else. And I hate that. It's true, maybe, but I hate that. Because that's the whole wrong hashkafa, I always say. What do you mean? I gained something inherently from my tefillah, irrespective of I got the thing that I want. I was able to use this to connect to the Rabbona Shalom. Isn't that, what do I need the thing for? The thing was an opportunity to connect to Hashem. Obviously, I'd love the thing, but at the end of the day, don't tell me that the whole thing gained from it is that Hashem will give me something else for it. That's not the thing gained from it. The thing gained from it was that I was able to draw closer to Hashem as a result of needing that thing, and therefore I had to daven. This is similar to that. Don't tell me that even though I didn't understand the information, don't worry, God will pay you in the world to come. That's true. But the real benefit to learning, irrespective of whether I understood the information, is that being immersed in Torah elevates my neshama. Being immersed in Torah brings me closer to Hashem. Being immersed in Torah gives me the strength, the koyach, to have the discipline, to find the strength to be inspired, to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And that's why I quoted this in my shmooze. The Medrash of Rav Kahana says on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, where the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says that Hashem was upset at Klal Yisrael for leaving his Torah. And the Medrash to Rav Kahana says, Hashem said, I'm okay if you left me, but I'm not okay that you left my Torah. What does that mean? How could you be okay? Aren't they one and the same? How can you leave Hashem now? Says the Medrash. No. Because if you leave Hashem, you leave Hashem. That's bad. Don't get me wrong. You're disconnected from Hashem. But if you leave the Torah, you have no pathway back. If you engage in the Torah, then there's a koach in the Torah that will bring you back. Obviously, if you're learning the Torah intentionally to disprove it, or intentionally to pull away from God, then the Gemara tells us it could be sam hamavis, it could be poison. We're not talking about such a person. We're talking about a person who doesn't feel connected. We're talking about a person who feels very low. How could I learn Torah? Look at what I'm doing in my life. I'm doing so many averus. I'm a terrible person. I'm doing terrible things. How can I learn Torah? I feel no connection to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman says, Afal Pikein, you should take the Torah. Because the Torah will give you the strength to give you back. This is what the Gemara means when it says, Barasi Yetzahara v'Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzahara, yet Torah is its remedy. What does that mean, Torah is its remedy? How is the Torah remedy to the Yetzahara? Torah's remedy to the Yetzahara because of the information? Because the Torah tells me how to do halacha? That's the remedy. That's not the remedy. The remedy is, there's a koyach in Torah. Eitz Chaim Yilam Achazikim Ba. The Torah is an Eitz Chayim. Says the Zohar, what happened to the Eitz Chaim after Adam was kicked out of the Gan Eden? What happened to it? It's hidden somewhere in the Gan Eden? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tore it up. And he took it and he distributed it. Made it into ashes and distributed it. Where did he distribute it? Throughout the Torah. He distributed it. And every time you learn Torah, you're getting a shtickle Eitz Chaim. A little Eitz Chaim that gives you that inspiration. A little Eitz Chaim. You can't take the Eitz Chaim all at once. You can't take the Ortel at once. It's too overwhelming. But a little at a time. And that's why Rabbi Nachman says, a person who's struggling, a person who's downtrodden says, how can I learn Torah? The opposite is true. You're dafka the person who needs to be learning Torah. Because Torah is medicine. Torah is going to heal you. And how do you take medicine? You go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I'm sick. What does the doctor say? Take medicine. What is the prescription? Take one in the morning, take one at night, and take it every day until you get better. What does Rabbi Nachman say? That's what it means. You got to learn Torah day and night. You got to take a pill in the morning. You got to take a pill at night. You got to take a pill in the morning. You skip a day. The antibiotics aren't effective anymore. You can't skip a day. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. Torah is medicine. It's not pshat that I have to learn Torah the day and night because that's why I'm obligated to do it. That's like a person saying, the doctor obligated me to take my medicine morning and night. Therefore, I must do it. The doctor obligated you? You're taking it because you want to get better. Doctor doesn't need to obligate you. You should want to do it on your own. The doctor's telling you what's going to heal you. You'd be silly not to do it. So to a certain extent, yes, we're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to was because he knows that this is the Tikkun Klali. This is the thing that's actually going to fix us. This is the thing that actually is going to help us improve. So immersing in Torah inherently is a davar shepikdusha that purifies us. This is our mikvah. And therefore, whenever I hear shmuzim from people talking about how learning has to be walk away with something practical. If you don't walk away with practical, you don't move, you don't accomplish, you don't this, you don't that, you're wasting your time. It bothers me tremendously. I'm all into accomplishments. I'm all into moving. I'm all into learning practical things. I agree. You have to have a seder in practical things. You need to know what to do. I'm not denying that. But they tell me it's a waste of time. Torah's never a waste of time. I don't care if you sit on one line of Torah and say it over and over and over again, and that's the only Torah you know. You're involved in Davar Shepikdusha. That's improving you. The Torah's improving you. There's a whole nother side, an aspect of Torah, than meets the eye. And that's the idea that Rabbi Nachman wants to bring out. That's the idea. Torah is a medicine.
Two things. Number one, so why is it that we still say that Gaim can't teach Gaim Torah? If it has so much kedusha and it can do so much in bettering a person to help them to overcome their Tzahara, why would we not give a Gaim this beautiful gift?
They don't have an Hashem. The Torah can only be poured into a kli. You need, in other words, if you have that great bottle of water, let's assume you weren't drinking it out of the bottle, you need a cup. That cup needs to hold the water. If you don't have a cup to hold the water, you had a fountain. No, you need a cup to hold the water. The Torah connects you to all of the spiritual worlds. A Jewish person's neshama transverses through all the spiritual worlds. That's what nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayi, chida is when we say that about a Jew. A guy just has a nefesh. A guy doesn't have the higher level parts of the neshama. So therefore, the Torah, which brings certain auras into a person's neshama, only is capable of doing so if the person has that quality neshama. Now, why don't the Gaim have that is a part of a larger discussion. But remember, there are also consequences to that for us. You think, oh, we're so much better, that's amazing for us. It's amazing for us if we use it well. The same power that gives us the ability to affect the spiritual worlds in a positive way is the same power that we have to destroy them too. Goyim don't have the ability to access them. Goyim also don't have the ability to destroy them. Only we do. And so therefore, a Jew has a tremendous responsibility. But that's the basic reason why Goyim don't.
Also,
doesn't do that for them.
I was going to ask this. Could this be like a reason why? Like, meaning when we thought about our motivation, what's driving us to enter the first place. Can this be like a primary reason? Should one come in and say,
yes.
This is wild.
Yeah, this is. I once heard Rav Yaakov Hillel, one of the greatest Kabbalistic teachers of our time, probably the greatest, said that Talmud Torah is for the Jew what meditation is in Eastern cultures. In other words, what they're trying to achieve through meditation, we achieve through hours on end of learning. Sitting and learning in Torah is literally an immersion, an immersive meditative experience that actually isn't just we're kind of convincing our minds of something. We're actually internally, expanding.
Even if you're not conscious about it?
Yeah.
And how is that possible?
How is it possible for you to get better with antibiotics if you don't understand how it works? How is it possible? Mm-hmm. How is it possible to fall off a bridge and die if you don't understand gravity? It's a law. That works. Mm-hmm. That works. Torah inherently works that way. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. It's a koach in Torah. You want me to... if I can explain it to you, I can explain it to you. But it's there. So, therefore, it doesn't matter if you understand gravity. It doesn't matter if you understand electricity. It doesn't matter if you understand. It's there. The Torah has that. Now, obviously, it's better if you understand. It's better, sure. But it's there regardless. That's why one of the things Rabbi Nachman says to do is that even for someone who doesn't understand Torah, just read it. You don't understand a word. Doesn't matter. Just read it. Just read it. There are lots of wrestlers that just read the Zohar. But Kriya. They don't understand the blessed thing that they're saying. Doesn't matter. Looking at the Zohar, reading the Zohar, gives you koichus, lightens a person up. Yeah.
Is there any aspect of like, the same mouth that was like used for like bad things and the same eyes that looked at bad things? Like,
of course there is an aspect of that, but the answer is not to eliminate the good things. Yes, of course there is.
There are also plenty.
Of course there is, yeah. So in other words, the answer isn't to, as he said, the answer isn't to not wash out the mouth. The answer is to try to eliminate the negative things from entering the mouth. You know, I would never tell a person, who's overweight and diabetic to say, the heck, don't take insulin. What do you mean? That's the person who needs to be taking insulin. Okay, yeah, you can also do other things to maybe try to stop eating so much. But at the end of the day, don't chop off your arm despite your face. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
You'd say that Talmud Torah and Tefillah, Shtek and Tefillah, it's the same exact concept that they're both fundamentally there for our benefit to help us. Mm-hmm. It's silly almost.
Correct.
To not want to do
correct.
It. You should have to look at reasons.
Correct. Agreed.
But is Tefillah, I'm pretty sure the answer is yes, but like, is it the same level that by tefillah, let's say you don't know a single word of actually means, but just by reading it, does it have the same effect? Obviously, it has more when you understand. You can use that as a muscle. So
in fact, I give a whole shiur on that. The words of tefillah. Right, exactly, yeah. Remember that? The words of tefillah, inherently, it's why Chazal organized tefillah in a certain way, because the words in itself are medicinal. The words in itself actually help. In many ways, Torah and tefillah are very similar in that way, and that's why I compared what I said in the tefillah shiur to this. It's a very similar idea.
So if Torah and tefillah have so much of this common denominator and similarity, why is it that we still separate tefillah? Why is it that we still separate tefillah and the concept of avodah and Torah? As you said in Hashivino,
they're different ways to plug in. Like just in other words, a person in tefillah is plugging in through his heart and through his will.
But shouldn't that fundamental person
a person. No, I mean, they're both connecting to Hashem in different ways. It's like, when I go out to work and I'm supporting my family, I'm doing that for my family. When I come home and have conversations with my kid, I'm doing that for my family. Why not just pick one? They're both important. Tefillah does one thing, and Torah does something else.
Yeah, I might think that we compare Torah with our father, our brother, with the king. That, as I understand, when someone's speaking with the father, that's like it's like a valuable, sentimental conversation because it's a father. So, but a king to a servant, not necessarily as much. So why would we say the same thing?
So we remember that in Hashivenu when we discussed Hashivenu. I don't want to discuss it now, but we'll talk afterwards. All right, boys, I'm sure I should be late for Mincha. Someone remember where we're up to.